Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman and Mike Morial. We got a show with a great guest today, and there is a lot to talk about.
I am fired up, Adam. I am fired up.
This is a two cup of coffee morning for you.
It's two cups.
Double fisting.
And you know what? The fact we're going to have Dan Maher of NHL Central Scouting, NHL's director of Central Scouting on, it's always a great show because everyone today, besides the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, are talking about the release of Central Scouting's rankings for North American players, for international players, goalies on each side. So it's always a great show. We want to get the perspective, the insight into how Dan and his crew came about the rankings. So it's always a fun show.
Right. And before that, we will have the NHL draft lottery, which is going to concern the 16 teams that did not make the playoffs. That will be held May 10th at the NHL Network Studios in Secaucus, New Jersey. 6:30 p.m. television show on ESPN, ESPN Plus, Sportsnet, SN Now, and TVI Sports. So if your favorite team didn't make the playoffs, you're going to find out who they could be talking about. You know, I believe Montreal Canadiens have the best odds this year to win the number one pick. But, you know, it doesn't really matter if you get the number one pick. It's who you take, right? It's who you pick, who you develop. You know, we've seen guys like I go back to a couple of years ago, 2017 draft. New Jersey Devils came out of nowhere to win number one. Philadelphia Flyers came up to win number two. Dallas got number three. Colorado had the best odds. They fell to number four. And who did they get? Cale Makar. So just because you don't get the number one pick doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the best player available. Certainly worked out for Colorado by not getting number one, but that's going to be fun. The draft lottery is going to be fun. We've got the final rankings to talk about. So let's bring in Dan Maher from NHL Central Scouting to talk about the final rankings. Dan Maher, thank you for joining us on NHL Draft Class today. How are things going?
They're moving along. It's a conveyor belt that doesn't stop. Just sometimes it goes a little faster than other days.
Nice way to put it, Dan. I love it. So Dan, you know, we always love this conversation this time of year. You know, Central Scouting's final rankings come out. So in January, you said the difference between Shane Wright and Logan Cooley among the North American skaters was pretty thin. Was that the same opinion at the final meetings in April? You know, and what put Wright over the top?
Well, at the final meetings, the gap had closed, whereas, you know, when you just doing a hand vote there was a bigger spread in January than there was at the final meetings. And that's to be expected. In particular, I think with this draft class, the difference for us at the end of the day was just this completeness that there is to Shane Wright's game. He's been in, they've both been in various situations, but just Shane's ability to kind of take control, put the team on his back and lead the way and do so utilizing the best of his skills and attributes. There is a fine line between that. But this draft class has kind of expanded to where, you know, the top two North American players or the top two European players, depending on how the draft lottery goes, any one of those four could be taken at the number one spot. You know, you'd have to go back to the Barkov draft year to where you'd have a similar situation there where I don't think anything is etched in stone. But all I know is that those are four really good players at the top of the draft class there, and anybody's going to be lucky to get them.
So, Dan, we've spent a lot of time talking about Shane Wright and Logan Cooley in the last few months, but as you look at the final rankings, there's a lot of talent behind those two guys. So what was it about Cutter Gauthier from the NTTP that separated him from the group and earned him that number three spot?
Cutter is one of those, again, like I would call the prototype power winger that NHL clubs want to have on their roster. You're watching the playoff hockey this week, and you can see how those big power wingers can really influence a game and produce and generate. And this is what Cutter brings. He's got all the skills and talent and speed that you want, but this is a competitive driven player, and that's what makes him stand out. So anytime you can get a talented prospect who knows how to compete with his skills and assets, he's going to get a lot of attention. And that's one of the main reasons why he made the move up on our list.
So you did mention there, Dan, at the top that there were, you know, any one of the four players, the top two North Americans, that being Shane Wright, Logan Cooley, and then among the international ranks. So you have Yuri Slavkovsky and Joachim Kamel of JYP. Slavkovsky, of course, plays with TPS. So both those top international players are in the elite Finnish league. So all four elite players, I totally can see that, you know, a team may be taking a chance. And it's funny you mention that, because I kind of thought of the Barkov draft, that could be, we could have a similar instance here. But I'm telling you, Dan, when I watch, I get excited when I watch this Slavkovsky. He really made an impression at the Beijing Olympics. He continued to play that way after the Olympics in Finland's top professional league and then the playoffs. I guess the question is, how close is he to those top two North American players on the list? I mean, do you see that perhaps a club could take a chance and take him number one?
Definitely. I've said, the way this draft class has finished out the season, like, and Kamel is in that conversation as well, but Slavkovsky did make the move up to the number one spot. And as you alluded to, this is a player from Slovakia who's now in his third season living and playing in Finland. Like, and he just turned 18 at the end of March. So that was quite a commitment on his part to make that move. And he's improved every year. And it was like, scouts don't use the word impressive very often when they talk about players. And when you watched how you could see him game by game at the Olympics, just figure things out. Every game he got a little better, and he found the way to where he utilized all his assets, which includes he's got a mature physical frame on him. He can compete against older players, where he was able to go out, create opportunities, get the job done, contribute offensively. So the fact that he seems to be able to absorb what's going on in a game, adapt his game, and play to that level, which is he's playing at a level higher than playing amongst his peers. That in itself is quite impressive. And if he puts in another strong performance at the World Championships here, then, you know, the sky can be the limit. And when you look at all of these players, I'm not a fan of using the word NHL ready with 18 and 19 year olds, but physically he might be the player that's closest to take on competing for an NHL job next year.
So Dan, right below them on the international list, you've got two defensemen, Simon Nemec and David Jiříšek. How difficult was that decision to parse out, you know, who should be ahead of whom? You've got two really good, really high-end right shot defensemen there.
Well, it is difficult. They both belong in that range of the draft. And like, Jiříšek does have a size advantage, and he's still filling out and going to grow. And Nemec, he's not as big, but he's equally pound for pound as strong. The slight difference really is in today's game involves around offense. And Nemec right now has that slight offensive advantage. He has the offensive tools that generate some points. And that's not to take away from Jiříšek's offensive games. It's just that Nemec has a slight advantage with his offensive tools right now. But both of them play a good game without the puck as well. And they're both deserving to be there. It is a fine line. But again, I'll repeat myself, just going back to the way the game is played now, where offense is such a big part of the game. We think that Nemec delivers on that front.
And then I guess there's a similar question on the North American side. with two Winnipeg Ice forwards, McAvoy at number four and Connor Geeky at number five. Two vastly different players, but both very skilled players. What was the line of demarcation to put Savoy at number four and Geeky at number five?
Well, as you've mentioned, there's that. They are different style players, completely different style players, completely different body types. Matthew Savoy is that skilled offensive centerman who can produce in any situation. Like he's not the biggest guy, but size doesn't influence how he gets results or how he plays the game. Geeky's more that in your face, front of the net type of guy that can power his way through on plays, make things happen, just create some time and space, protect the puck. They just have both have different styles between them, but Savoy is the scorer. Savoy is the guy that you're going to put on the ice when you need a goal, when you need to win the game.
So Dan, is there maybe a dark horse player that, you know, kind of a little bit off the radar, maybe not among the top 32 who maybe you have your eye on, who the scouts were kind of, you know, really pushing for at the final meetings? And it wouldn't surprise you if someone, you know, an NHL club kind of took a chance on them maybe earlier than expected.
Well, it's always difficult to project how the draft pattern is going to go on draft day. But, you know, just having been to the World U18 Championships, I think we can kind of safely project that there'll be a minimum of 10 European players go in the first round, and it could be up to 12 or 13. So we have some players that we have listed later in our first round. In, you know, not all 32 of the North American players are going to go in the first round. And the two names that I would say it would not surprise anyone if teams stepped up for would be the defenseman on the U18 National Team Development Program, Lane Hutson or Seamus Casey. They both delivered stellar performances. I believe Hutson was on the all tournament team as one of the defensemen. That U.S. team this year was, and again, I'm going to use the word impressive. I've never seen a team as fast and quick as a group that this team was this year. And when you watch the gold medal game, it was just the goaltender Havilland that was the difference maker. And that's what happens when you have one game knockout tournament. So not taking anything away from Sweden, they're deserving gold medal winners, but the U.S. would have been equally deserving of a gold medal this year.
Yeah. And Lane Hutson, as you mentioned, had a great tournament. He was named, not only on the all tournament team, but he was defenseman of the tournament as well. He had 8 points there. So yeah, that was quite a tournament for Lane. But back to the NTTP. I mean, you mentioned Lane Hutson, Seamus Casey. We know about Logan Cooley. We know about Cutter Gauthier. Is there another player on the NTTP maybe not getting enough attention? Because we all know that there's a lot of players here on this program. And as you said, Dan, there could be a run on NTTP, not only in the first round, but in the second, maybe third round. Is there another player maybe not getting enough attention, that you can fill us in on?
Well, we've rang the bell on Isaac Howard, putting him in our top 10. And, this is a pure scorer along the likes. You know, he should be able to step in like a Clayton Keller, or just start to produce and put up numbers. The player that's going to be really interesting to watch is the captain of the team, Rutger McGroarty. And this is a player, he is a player that is worth stepping up for. He plays a little bit, reminds me a little bit of Michael Richard that played for Kitchener years ago, where not the prettiest skater, but he goes out there, gets the job done. He wears that C with pride. And you can just see the chances that he had in that gold medal game. And I'll even reference back to the prospects game. He went out and made two big hits at the start of the period, one on Chesley and one on Cooley, who were his teammates who were playing on the other team. And it set the pace for the entire game. So this is a guy who understands what leadership's all about, and he's got the work ethic and the tools to go out there and make things happen. And like, we have him 22 on our list. I'm hoping that the team does include him in their consideration when they pick a first rounder, because he's very, very deserving of getting that distinction.
And one of the players that's really intrigued me just as I've watched him throughout the season is Maverick Lamoureux. 6'7", right-hand shot. He's number 20 on your final rankings. You'd think at that size his skating might be an issue, but he moves really well, especially for a guy that size. When you and your group talked about Lamoureux, what were some of the positives of his game? And is he a guy with a higher ceiling maybe than others because of what could happen if he fills out and if he adds more strength and physicality to his game?
Definitely, Adam. When you see a player that size that can move with that type of agility and speed, it just makes you, you know, sit up and pay attention to him. But he does bring the other elements that are very important to the game. He does have a good puck moving game. He has good puck skills to control the puck. He's got a measured approach where he doesn't try and do too much, and he remains composed when he has the puck on his stick. So you have a big guy that can skate and he's comfortable with the puck on his stick, and you know he's going to fill out. You know he's going to get bigger. He doesn't have to play physical to contribute in a game because he has all the tools that you need. He's a very tough player to position on the final list. You don't want to step too high. You don't want to underestimate him. He landed at the same position that we had him at midseason, and he could go a little bit higher. He could go a little bit later. But it's the clubs that are firm in their projection models to where this player is going to achieve his top end. And like you say, we believe that the upside is there.
Going back to the U18s, and obviously it's a tournament that everyone pays close attention to. You were there. I mean, there are tons of scouts. You saw on the broadcast as well, there were a lot of general managers there as well, you know, looking over. There are players on these teams that a lot of people didn't know much about, but I think after the tournament, you watch the tournament, you can see these kids. For instance, the Swedish goalie that you mentioned, Hugo Haviland, he's number two on Central's international list. Was there any player, and I know what you can't say one tournament is going to be a determining factor for we're going to draft this guy, but was there any player that was kind of hovering in maybe a first round range or in your mind, or whether it be from North America or international, that after watching that U18 tournament, you know, maybe there's a chance that this player could go higher than expected?
Well, when you reference like a one tournament having an influence on the draft, like there can be positives taken away. Like, you want to be careful not to make a mistake to be too harsh on a player from a one tournament performance, and likewise not to go overboard. But this season, it's another COVID-related season to where a number of tournaments were canceled. There hasn't been the same number of viewings. But I have to tell you, all those players that are eligible for the draft brought their A games to that U18 tournament. And everyone accounted themselves well and did well there. And a player like Yuri Kulich, from the Czech Republic, you know, he's positioned himself to be a solid first round candidate. And he was a well thought of prospect going into the tournament, but he's improved his standing. You look at Julian Lutz, the German player who missed significant time. He stood out every game. He was practically in on every scoring opportunity that the Germans generated, but he's moved up significantly from the midseason rankings. Another Czech player, Thomas Hamera, who played in Finland. Like, this young man had an outstanding tournament. And I think he went from 42 or 41 up to 21 on our list. And you know, NHL clubs that have a greater history with him. Like his game just all came together. He played such a mature game where he was getting the job done there. That, you know, it's not going to be unheard of for a team to step up for him. And there's other players like Kulonumi, the Finn captain, and even Mattias Haviland, the Swedish defenseman, the twin brother of the goalie. Like all these players did well. Lakarimäki lived up to his reputation and delivered. Kamel, the same thing. So this year's U18 tournament, it's probably one of the best there's been in a while, but all these players recognized that it was an opportunity to show what they had, and they all delivered on it. And it's just congratulations to all the players there. It was from a scouting advantage and viewpoint there, this tournament was the best tournament that brought the most value for NHL clubs this year.
Well, thank you, Dan. Congratulations to you and your group for putting out the final rankings. A fabulous job, fabulous effort. We're going to enjoy going through them here as we get ready for the 22 NHL draft. But thank you today for joining us on NHL Draft Class.
Thank you, guys. I can't wait to see your mock drafts.
They're the best, Dan. What are you? You're serious, right? You're serious about that, right?
Heavy on the mock.
Yeah, it's always interesting.
Good stuff.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, take care.
Dan Marr from NHL Central Scouting with his opinion on the final rankings. Mike, there was so much great stuff there from Dan. What stood out to you from all the great information he gave us?
You know, to start right off at the top, right, Adam? We're talking about Shane Wright. We're talking about Logan Cooley atop the North American list. So the fact that Dan said that, you know, a majority of the scouts agreed that Shane Wright has a little bit more of a compete to his game. You can see that competitiveness on the ice. And I keep going back to this fact too. Dan didn't mention it, but I know he's said it before, is the fact that Shane Wright, you know, missed an entire season in 2021. And that was because of the COVID and the OHL season was canceled. And Logan Cooley did play basically a season in the United States Hockey League with the U-17. So the fact that Shane Wright missed an entire season, came in this year, struggled a little bit at the start, but then was able to pick it up. His team is still going, trucking along here in the OHL playoffs. They got by the first round, finished sixth in the OHL in points in the regular season. I can see exactly where Central Scouting is going here, Adam. You know, he said that Shane Wright is a player that he kind of put Kingston on his back towards the end. He's a great teammate. And we know like that competitive verve that he has on the ice is something that probably really reflects well for a player that could go number one in the draft. And I think it reflects well for him on GMs and scouts, because that's what they want to see. And we had him on NHL Draft Class, right, Adam? And you had asked the question about if a general manager is going to take you, what would you say to them, or if they're thinking of taking you number one? And well, you remember what came out of his mouth, right?
Yeah, it's I don't care about individual. I'm going to paraphrase, but it's individual stats aren't what drive me. It's winning Stanley Cups. So that's the guy you want in your organization. You know, like, look, Connor McDavid's going to win a lot of scoring titles in his career. Is he ever going to win a Stanley Cup? I don't know. Sidney Crosby's got a couple of Stanley Cups. You know, Patrice Bergeron's got a Stanley Cup. Those guys are winners. Those guys are champions, and they figured it out. I think Shane Wright sort of maybe more fits in that class where, yes, he's going to be able to produce individual statistics. He's going to be a good player. He's going to make the guys around him better. But if he's already understanding that it's the team goal, the team championship that is the focus, you know, and you watch the way he plays, and he plays what he preaches, right? He plays to that level. You know, it's the defensive awareness. It's the blocking shots. It's the willingness to play hard at both ends of the ice, win faceoffs. We've seen that in his game all throughout this season in Kingston. So, you know, if I'm a team looking to add that level of competitiveness to my organization and an 18-year-old kid, and look, we've heard the comparisons to Patrice Bergeron going back to last year's draft, that this is who, you know, his top end could be. It's a guy you definitely would want to have to your organization. If you can add an 18-year-old Patrice Bergeron to your organization, I think teams would really want to do that. I don't see a downside there.
Yeah, no doubt. And what makes it even more difficult is when we had Dan Marr earlier for the midterm ranks on NHL draft class. I remember him telling us he described Shane Wright as a difference maker, and then he described Logan Cooley as an impact player. I mean, so really, these are two dynamic players, right? In his own right, Cooley is a player who can impact games. His top-end speed is off the charts. We know that. His ability to quickly process and execute plays. He has that IQ. It makes him a scoring threat every time he's on the ice. But here you go, Adam. I'm going to throw a monkey wrench into this whole equation.
Go ahead.
And I might be going against, you know, what NHL scouts have always taught us in the past. You know, always take the best available player, right?
Correct.
That's what they preach. When you and I were learning going up the ranks, EJ would tell us that, you know, pick the best available player. This year, we have a player on the international side in Jure Slavkovsky, TPS in Finland. And we heard, you know, we heard with Dan the praises that he was, you know, saying about Slavkovsky and what he has to bring. He is the prototypical power forward. He's not a center here. You have two dynamic centers in this draft class. What if a team, a club, wins the draft lottery and they're pretty deep down the middle? And I guess I'm thinking about this. I'm going to throw a team out there. The New Jersey Devils, right? You have a Jack Hughes. You have a Nico Hischier. You could have a Dawson Mercer, Adam, as your third line center.
And you know who I'm taking? Shane Wright, because you know what? Those centers slide to the wing really, really easily.
That's true. And right? Dawson Mercer did that.
Exactly. And and you covered the New Jersey Devils. Didn't Jack Hughes place him on the wing this year so he and Mercer could be on the same line?
Absolutely. And Jack had some of his best games when Mercer was on his right wing. Yep.
Right. So again, not to take away your wonderfully made point, not that I agree with it, but take the best player available. There's a reason that teams do that. And look, if you need a winger today, what's to say you need that winger 3 years from now when the player you take today is ready to go in his NHL prime? When in doubt, always take the best player. You know, it doesn't matter, right? Things change so fast in the NHL. We've been around this game for long enough to know that what you have today might not be what you have tomorrow. So if you got a guy who brings all the things to the table, if you think that Shane Wright is the best player, and this is something else that Dan said that I want to get into, you know, you could ask four teams who they have at number one on their list. You might get four different answers. I thought it was really interesting that Dan said either of the top two guys on the North American list, Shane Wright or Logan Cooley, or either of the two guys on the international skater list, Jure Slavkovsky or Joachim Kamel, could go number one in the draft. So, you know, just because we've spoken about Shane Wright so much, we've spoken about Logan Cooley so much, it sounds like it's a four-horse race for that number one spot. And it's going to come down to who wins the draft, who wins the lottery, who does that team have at number one? Look, I spoke to a team, and I'm not going to name which team, but they said Jure Slavkovsky is number one on their board, and number two was Logan Cooley. So, you know, it varies so much, and it sounds a lot like the 2013 draft, right? Where we went in with Nathan MacKinnon and Seth Jones and Jonathan Drouin on the North American side and Alexander Barkov on the international side, and we just kind of thought any of those four guys could go number one. Colorado had the number one pick. They had a lot of talent to choose from. I thought it would be Seth Jones. I don't remember who you had, but it ended up being Nathan MacKinnon. And look, all four of those guys have gone on to pretty solid NHL careers, but we didn't know until Joe Sakic got to the podium and said, we're taking Nathan MacKinnon, who was going to go number one. We could be in a very similar situation when we get to Montreal. Who's going to be the number one pick?
Jure Slavkovsky is 6'3 and a half, 218 pounds. And Dan reiterated that he's played in Finland for three seasons. This year was his first full season in Liga. And he was off the charts, right, Adam? Sure. I mean, you saw it. And then the performance in the Olympics. Look, you know, I had a nice conversation with Slovakia, the men's national coach there, Craig Ramsey. former NHL coach.
Very smart man.
Yeah. And Craig Ramsey told me that Slavkovsky reminds him of Clark Gillies. Now, look.
High praise.
Clark Gillies can play with anybody. He played with Brian Trottier and Mike Bossy in the heyday for the Islanders, their cups. I mean, any team can use a Clark Gillies in their lineup, a guy that can score goals, a guy that is an intimidating presence. Slavkovsky brings that to his game. And in addition to that, when talking to Goran Stube, the NHL director of European scouting, the vision, the size, and Slavkovsky told me, I had a chance to talk to him a little bit. He likes Austin, the game of, Austin Matthews, his game. That's who he tries to, emulate his style. When he looks at an Austin Matthews, the power game, the shot, he likes all of that. There are a lot of tools to like about Yuri Slavkovsky. And if team is willing to make that, I don't even know if you call it a risk or a chance, right? It's like, if you think Yuri Slavkovsky is the best player, then you probably should take him number one, even though I guess a majority of scouts are saying that Shane Wright is the number one guy, or a Logan Cooley could be that guy. This is going to be a real interesting draft, Adam. It's just this kind of talk like really gets me pumped up. And Joachim Kamel, of course, was number one on the midterm list. And now he goes down to two. Slavkovsky goes to one at the final rank. So like Dan said, these four players, all dynamic. And then what you have sitting there at number three and number four on the international side too, and you brought it up with Dan, two right-handed D guys, Simon Nemitz from Nitra in Slovakia, and David Juracek from the Czech Republic, Pilsen. So two right-handed Ds. Pilsen might be, Juracek might be more that, he goes about 6'3", 189. So he's more that defensive style D guy where, you get into the zone, he's going to try to, stop you. He's going to play D. He's going to, try to make the transition easier for his forwards by shutting down opposing forwards in his end of the ice. But he did pick it up offensively late in the year. And Simon Nemitz from Nitra goes about 6 foot 190. He's more that offensive type guy. I've read where he likes the Quinn Hugheses of the world, those quick type D guys. And at that size, he's able to skate at 6 foot 190. You got some real interesting choices here. I mean, I don't even know. There might be some teams, Adam, right, that don't want to win the lottery. They're saying, well, I don't want to have to make that decision, have to make that number one pick.
Well, sure. Yeah. If it's between two guys, somebody, you're at number two, they take the decision out of your hand. But with these two guys, Juracek, I think, has more of the well-rounded game where he's going to be good and he's good on battles in the defensive zone. He's strong enough. Had some injury issues this season, so he really didn't get the well-rounded look at him. He had that real bad knee injury at the World Juniors back in December, if you remember. With Nemitz, though, he doesn't have the size that Juracek has. He's a few inches shorter, but the offensive game is already there. It's very mature. He's a very good skater. He's not afraid to lead the rush. Again, you saw it at the World Junior. He's poised with it. He's pretty fearless jumping in the play. He can quarterback your power play. But down low in the defensive zone, he's a pretty good player too. He's got some strength to him. He's 190 pounds already. So you figure, once he gets with an NHL strength coach, he's going to put on a few more good pounds, smart pounds, some muscle there. He's going to be able to handle the physical play that comes with playing in the defensive zone in the NHL. Both of these guys have the look of being, number one type defenseman, top pair type defenseman who can play in all situations. So, again, as much as we've talked about the big four forwards there, there are a couple of defensemen that have the look of being really, really good players. And we didn't even get to the top ranked North American defenseman, Pavel Minchikov from Saginaw, who also looks like he could be in that same conversation as Nemitz and Juracek as the first defenseman off the board.
Yeah, I like Minchikov. And I also like another defenseman that Dan mentioned from the NTTP, Lane Hutson, right, Adam?
Yep.
We've talked about him previously. He's number 25 on Central's final rankings. He was awarded, as I mentioned, you know, the tournament's top defenseman at the U18s. He finished tied for second in the tournament in scoring among blue liners with 8 points. They were all assists, and he had a plus 12 12 rating, which was also second. So as effective a puck distributor as you're going to see, I mean, that's what I was witnessing at the U18s. Lane Hutson is so fast, so skilled. And we all know it's incredibly hard for smaller size defensemen to survive in the NHL. But you've said this before, Adam. You know, Hutson seems to be in that rare breed, right? That yeah, maybe he doesn't have the size. He goes about 5'8" and he's 150 pounds, give or take. But this is a guy that I think if you're able to get him late first, even early second, I think you're getting a steal there because Lane Hutson could be a dynamic player in the league.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed watching Lane Hutson and the video clips I've gotten to see him play. The word that comes to mind is fearless. Fearless with the puck, fearless without the puck, top-end offensive skills. And there's smarts to his game, right? Like, he's never going to be Shea Weber. He's never going to be Zdeno Chara. Like, he's never going to drive guys through the walls in the back in the end of the ice, you know. But he's smart. He defends with his stick. He defends with his feet. He uses that outstanding skating as a weapon. So he's got different kinds of weapons when he's trying to defend, different kind of weapons when he's attacking. Yeah, 5'8", 148 pounds or whatever he's listed at. It wouldn't give me a moment hesitation to take him. If I'm a team looking to add that element, that offensive element to my back end, Lane Hutson would be the guy I would look at. But there's another defenseman that I've really, really liked, and I know I've talked about him a little bit. I talked about him earlier. Maverick Lamoureux from Drummondville in the Quebec League. 6'7", right-handed shot. That's a unicorn. That's a double unicorn right there. 6'7", right-handed. That size has not come along very often, and he skates. Like, you'd think a guy that big would just be sort of lumbering all over the ice. One of the strengths of his game, I think, is his skating and his movement with and without the puck. Gets up and down the ice really, really well. He's developing, right? He's going to get bigger. He's going to get stronger. He's listed it at 197 pounds. So you figure there's, you know, that's a frame that you can develop, a frame you can build on. I'm sure there are NHL strength coaches who see the skill and they're just like rubbing their hands together. Oh, I can't wait to get this guy in the gym. I can't wait to get him on a nutrition plan and get him up to what, 220? I mean, a guy that big, that strong, who skates that well with that much strength and physicality, that's a foundational piece for a franchise if he hits those benchmarks. And we talked to Dan about ceilings on guys. That guy's got a ceiling that's, you know, really, really high because there's so much there to develop, so much there to work with. There's already a really high talent level. You know, I just think he's a guy that's really appealing to me because of all the elements he has that no other player, no other defenseman in this year's draft has.
Yeah, and on top of that, I mean, he had 24 points, including 20 assists for Drummondville, but I thought it was interesting, too. He's one of the high PIM guys that's projected to go in the first round at 69 penalties penalty minutes. So you can see he has that edge about his game as well. So he's definitely a player that's going to be up there among the rankings for a lot of clubs. One player I do want to make mention of real quick to Adam is, and I think Dan did, we talked about him a little bit, was center Yuri Kulich, who helped Czechia to a fourth place finish at the U18s. He was named the tournament's most valuable player. He's number 13 among international skaters. You know, I watched his game a little bit, saw some highlights, looked at some clips after the U18s just to get even more familiar with his game. He scored 9 of Czechia's 22 goals at the tournament. So a lot of his production, you know, came on the power play. But the kid has a skill set. He was able to really put that on display for Czechia. And I think it's going to be impossible for a lot of clubs to kind of ignore the shot that this kid has. You know, you watch some of the games, some of the highlights. He's got a big shot. And I think when you talk about players maybe coming out of a tournament and maybe propelling their draft status because of a great performance. I think Jiří Kulich was able to do that. I think in this tournament, and yeah, he was named the tournament's most valuable player, but he really deserved it. He was impressive. I believe I counted, obviously accounted for almost 50% of the team's production goal wise, but I think he did well for himself in boosting his draft stock at the U18s and what he was able to produce. So good on Jiří Kulich. And as Dan said, congratulations to everyone at the U18s, whether you won them, came home with a, medal or not. I thought it was a great tournament.
Mike, we didn't talk about the guy that, I mentioned Maverick Lamoureux was a guy I really enjoyed watching. We didn't mention the guy that I know you have enjoyed watching him. Jagger Furcus from Moose Jaw, from number 33 in the midterm to number 12 in the final rankings. You've got to be happy for Jagger. And you wonder, we mentioned the U18, what that does for a guy's draft stock. Wonder how much of that top prospects game did for his prospects. And we had John Williams on the show, previous edition of NHL Draft Class. You can go back and listen to that. I highly encourage it. He talked about Jagger and what he liked about Jagger. And I think number 12 is a good spot for him after the season that he has and is still going with Moose Jaw.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I mean, it's nice to see hard work be rewarded, right, Adam? Mm-hmm. And in Jagger Furcus's case, that's precisely what happened here. I mean, to score 80 points in 66 games, including 36 goals, I mean, that's a lot of production. For a player and he really led Moose Jaw in the regular season and, to help them, qualify for playoffs. But, he's a player that has a compete level that's through the roof. I mean, he's got the compete, he's got the heart, people may talk about his size. And I remember when we were talking to John Williams about this, he goes about 5'10", 153, but you can't ignore how fast this kid is on his edges, how he skates, how he's able to get into open ice, how the things he does away from the puck to put himself in position to get it back, giving goes. So yeah, I I'm happy for Jagger. I'm glad he was able to, move up the ranks here. Now it's just a matter of seeing if a team's going to take that chance on him. I think there's a good possibility he does go in the first round here. And whichever team does get him, I'm going to be following his career. That's for sure.
There you go. Well, we can sit here all day talking about these the top guys on the Central Scouting Final Rankings list. You can read the rankings yourselves there on NHL.com. The top North American skaters and goalies, the top international skaters and goalies. And I highly suggest you go back and you listen to previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. We had John Williams on to talk about Mike's favorite player, Jagger Furcus, as well as some of the other top players in the Western Hockey League. We had Adam Nightingale on to talk about the NTDP players, and congratulations to Adam Nightingale, by the way. He's going to be the head coach of the Michigan State hockey team moving forward, starting next season. But we've also had on Brad Lambert, who we didn't talk about, who's on the international list. He is number 10 on the final ranking, the international scouting list. But I highly suggest you go back and listen to some of our previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. And we are going to be back now on a regular basis. We're going to have the scouts on from NHL Central Scouting. We're going to have some of the top players on. We're getting ready for the draft lottery. Our first mock draft, Mike, it's going to come the day after the NHL draft lottery. Look for that on May 11th.
Dan Morrow's waiting for it. Yeah,
that's right. He's got it circled on his calendar. You guys all should too. But thank you again for listening to NHL Draft Class. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.